The Pitch by Jeremy Front, with Richard Briers, Maureen O'Brien, and Rebecca Front. Pitch, noun, for example, advertising or recommendation for salesman, etc. Pitch, verb, intransitive, for example, to call heaven.
Okay, so this is the setup. A 30-something couple, Dan and Sarah, trying to juggle marriage and two careers.
Early or late?
Early or late what?
30s.
Late.
Good. Late's good. More pressure. More to play for. So?
So?
What next?
Oh, yeah, well, there's a lot of major life change stuff going on. Should we or shouldn't we have a baby? What's wrong with our life as it is? Only, and this is the spin, it's all on its head. It's Dan who's broody. He's the one going on about his biological clock. He's not getting any younger.
Low sperm count.
Whatever. The thing is, he's making all the running, but Sarah doesn't give a damn.
I like that.
Well, that's the domestic setup. Now, on top of that...
Sorry, Howard, can I just...
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No. Because I told him I needed it today. Sorry about this, Howard.
Fine.
No, I've got someone with me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he's had a month to tell me that. Two, if you include Christmas. Well, I'm sorry, but... Look, I'm in the middle of... Tell him I'll get back to him later. Sorry about that. Is your coffee all right?
Fine.
Can you bear with me, Howard?
Sure.
Lucy, me again. Phone his agent and tell him I'll get... Okay, tell her. I'll give John till the end of the week, but that's it. And can you not put any more calls through to this office? So?
I'm sorry, I'm completely lost.
Dan wants a baby.
A baby, yes, baby. But in the meantime, he's got work troubles of his own. She's a teacher, so she's permanently exhausted. And he's a writer, having trouble getting his latest
project... Let me stop you there. I like the setup, the basic, the home life. Lovely, very accessible, very now. But when I hear the word writer...
I know.
I hear warning bells, Howard.
I know, but it's not the usual sort of...
Say the word writer and I hear doors closing.
Yes, but this is different.
Don't get me wrong. They're desperate for sitcoms, but if we put this on the table now and say it's a show about a writer...
No, it's not about a writer. It just happens that one of the characters is a writer.
Semantics.
The fact that he's a writer is coincidental.
Then why not make him something else?
Because that's what he is.
But it's coincidental. You said so yourself. So why can't he be... I don't know, but I do know what that word does to TV executives.
But if they read the treatments...
Who reads treatments? Half the time they don't even read a script. Howard, you're the writer. It's your project. God forbid I should tell you what to do with it. I could be wrong. It has been known. But I have to say, and remember, I'm dealing with these people every day. I have to say, I think it's extremely unlikely. You hate me for saying this, don't you?
No, no.
Yes, yes.
No, I don't hate you.
I mean, come on. A new Howard Black sitcom does not come along every day. Love Me or Leave Me, Bob and Me, these are comedy classics.
Well, I don't know about classics.
They are. They're up there. And now this...
Sauce for the Goose.
Sauce for the Goose, great title. Now, have you seen One Man's Meat?
Yes.
Not the greatest sitcom in the world, but...
It fills a gap.
Exactly, it fills a gap. About 18 months ago, I take an idea to Ivor called The Other Cheek by... Well, never mind who it was by, but let's just say a very established writer.
Yeah.
I get this script, and immediately I can see it's a perfect mainstream 8 on a Wednesday night pre-Watershed show. Maybe not another Mum's the Word, but good. Anyway, Ivor says now's not a good time, some crap about schedules, come back in 6 months. Well, surprise, surprise, 6 months later he's become assistant head to God Almighty and he no longer digests his own food, let alone answers the phone. Okay, cut to a year later. Last winter, I pick up a trade and I'm looking through the spring schedules and there's this new show, One Man's Meat. I think nothing of it. Then I get a call from said writer. Have I seen The Other Cheek on Ivor's network? Well, I haven't, but I'm pleased he managed to sell it genuinely, so I'm saying congratulations, blah, blah, blah. But I can hear he's fuming on the other end of the line. Turns out he hasn't sold it. The Other Cheek's on Ivor's network, only it's called One Man's Meat.
You mean they...
Same setup, same idea, same bloody characters. All they did was change the names.
What did you do?
What do you think I did? What could I do? For better or worse, I'm in this business to make programmes.
But it's plagiarism.
How many writers can afford a court case? If I sued Ivor Bennett, which I also can't afford to do, but if I did, I may or may not win, but I sure as hell won't make any more shows for his network, or any other network he goes to work for. So, Next time I went in to see him with a project, I didn't mention the other cheek, but I turned up with a lawyer and a tape recorder. We taped the whole meeting.
I bet he loved that.
Yeah, screw him. I don't know how I got on to... Anyway, all I'm saying is you can't trust anyone these days. Well, that's all by the by. The thing is, you've got a great idea here, but there's one flaw.
The writer character.
He's asking for trouble. Couldn't you make him... I don't know, I'm just pulling this off the top of my head, but could you make him, say, a plumber?
A plumber?
Not necessarily a plumber, but something along those lines. Something accessible. Something the ordinary bloke in the street can relate to. Someone they can sympathise with.
A plumber?
Not necessarily a plumber. I just plucked that out of...
Yeah, but I don't know anything about plumbers.
Not necessarily a plumber.
You see, the thing is, a lot of the storyline revolves around the sort of thing that happens to a writer.
Yeah, but you said yourself it's not about a writer.
Yes, but the things that happen to him, they're not plumber things.
Forget the plumber. What is this obsession you've got with plumbers?
Now look, Mel, I've got a character here. He's developed in my mind, he's come to life inside my head, and part of what he is, part of what makes him the way he is, the way he speaks, the way he behaves, all of that is informed by the fact that he's a writer.
I understand.
You see, it's difficult to just suddenly take one of my central characters and make him into...
Please don't say that word.
And give him an entirely different job. It changes the whole...
Yes, I know.
See, it's like pulling a single thread out of a piece of material. Mm. It seems simple enough at first, but pretty soon all you've got left is a pile of threads.
Howard, believe me, that's why I've got the greatest respect for you. I couldn't do your job in a million years, but what I can do is try to guide you. I think it would be irresponsible of you not to do that. I mean, frankly, who cares about a writer? Tell me, what's your biggest problem?
Me? Mine?
Yours. What real problems could a successful scriptwriter have? I mean, real problems. Imagine you've spent all week working in some dead-end job. You've got a pug-ugly wife, 5 horrible kids and 15 bloody Alsatians. What do you care about a man who sits in a nice warm room in his nice warm house making up stories all day? What do you care that he wants a baby or that he's got writer's block? Why should you give a damn? What you want is to go down the pub with your mates, get rat-arsed, go home and watch something that's going to make you laugh.
About a plumber?
A plumber, an electrician, a sewage worker, whatever. The important thing is he's just a bloke, like you. Well, not like you, but like them. His life also stinks. Especially if he's a sewage worker. In fact, a sewage worker is not a bad idea, because that gives everyone the chance to feel that however lousy, their life's not as bad as his.
So, you think I should make Dan a sewage worker?
I don't know. Maybe. Think about it. Aspiration's the key word here.
Aspiration?
Aspiration and sympathy. Now, if you can do that and make it funny, we've got a hit show on our hands. So what do you think? Can you do that for me, Howard? What do you think?
I'm coming. I'm afraid I can't get to the phone right now.
Dan.
If you want to send a fax, start transmitting it now. Otherwise,
God,
leave a message.
Heaven, Josie, you really gave me a heart attack.
Oh, sorry, I didn't think you'd mind me letting myself in.
I don't. I just wasn't expecting to find you lurking in the shadows.
Hardly lurking.
Howard, it's Nessa.
When was the last time this place saw Hoover?
I've just spoken with the producer at Back in the Box Productions.
Like a pigsty.
Look, sorry, can I just... Nessa, I'm here.
Monitoring your calls.
No, I've just got back from my meeting with Mel Turner.
Oh, yeah, how'd it go?
She wanted me to make the central character a plumber.
Interesting idea.
It's a stupid idea.
Did you say that?
Of course not. Oh, damn, someone at the door, hang on. Josie, would you mind?
What am I, your butler?
Is Josie there? Are you two...
No, she just popped round.
So, Mel Turner's a no-go.
She's obviously after a mainstream sofa sitcom with an argumentative couple, truculent teenage kids, and the batty neighbour who pops in once an episode to borrow a cup of sugar.
Oh, never mind. There are plenty more independents out there.
Not exactly beating a path to my door.
They will.
They'd better. My calendar's emptier than Siberia. I've got school fees to pay, and God knows what it's going to cost when Jack starts university.
I've got complete faith in you, Howard, and I think Sauce for the Goose is the best thing you've come up with in ages.
It's the only thing I've come up with in ages.
We only sent the treatment out a month ago.
3.
Is it? Well, 3 months is nothing. You know that.
Look, I just need to get something off the ground. I am desperate.
Well, that's why I'm phoning. There's a new Saturday night primetime show coming up, and they're practically begging for you. It's called Fun and Games.
Let me stop you there, Nessa. You know I don't do gags anymore.
I know it's not high art, but the money's good.
Please don't tell me what they're offering.
You just said you were desperate.
Not that desperate. I don't write gags anymore. I was doing that 30 years ago.
All right, point taken. Listen, I've got someone on the other line.
Yeah, damn.
Have you got any sugar?
What do you want sugar for?
I don't. It's Mr. Hughes next door. He wants to borrow a cup of sugar.
No one in real life wants to borrow a cup of sugar.
He does.
But I haven't got any.
Well, would you like to tell him?
Not really.
For God's sake, Howard, I'm not
your... Please, get rid of him. If I go out there, he'll tell me about his irritable bowel again, and I haven't got the stomach for it today.
You owe me one.
Drink?
I'm on a detox.
I need every bit of tox I can lay my hands on tonight.
It wouldn't do you any harm to flush out your system.
My system's just fine for a stressed-out middle-aged scriptwriter who drinks too much and eats badly.
You're living like a pig.
Well, come back and civilize me.
We've discussed this.
We're a great team.
Stop it, Howard.
I'm no good without you.
You're no good with me. Let's just change the subject.
How's Brendan?
It's Brenda, and she's fine, thank you. She's training to be a Reiki therapist.
Really? That's a surprise.
Why are you so hostile to anything new?
I don't know. Let's ask Brenda. Maybe she could read my aura, see if there's too much purple in my spectrum.
Ha, bloody ha.
Read any good Gertrude Stein lately?
Don't start.
I'm just trying to show an interest in your lifestyle. It is a lifestyle, isn't it? I mean, you people do call it a lifestyle.
I'm not gay.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
If I was, I wouldn't be, but I'm not. I'll make you a promise, though. If I ever discover I am, you'll be the last to know.
You can be a heartless cow sometimes. Did you know that?
I didn't come round to trade insults, but if you want me to start...
No, no.
You're drinking too much.
Are you surprised? So, to what do I owe the dot, dot, dot?
It's Jack.
What's wrong?
Calm down. Nothing's wrong. He's just... He's dropped out of school.
He's what?
He wants to go to Peru.
Oh, right, of course. Stupid question. What the hell is he going to do in Peru?
There's a tribe, the Machu something. I can't remember the exact name.
The name is irrelevant.
It's some sort of anthropological exchange. They need help with an irrigation system, and in return, he learns about their way of life.
He can't wash out the bath. What does he know about irrigation systems?
He doesn't need to. He's going with a group. It's all properly organized.
Great, great. Maybe the mucho, macho, whatever, would like to send over one of their kids to do a bit of landscape gardening for me.
Yep. This is why he came to me first.
Yeah, because he knows you're a soft touch.
Because he knows what a small-minded, suburban reactionary you are.
Hey, hey, it's my suburban, small-minded reactions that are paying for him to screw up his life.
Your ego is unbelievable. Everything comes down to you. The whole world revolves around you. You, you.
I'm concerned about his future.
No, you just want to be able to tell your drinking mates that your son's at Oxford.
That's not fair, just because I... What are you doing?
Turning the tape over.
What tape?
It's my therapist's idea. I tape all our arguments. Then I can listen back and work through it. Or just wipe it.
I don't believe this.
You should try it.
Why not video the whole thing? In fact, why don't you get a documentary crew to follow us around? You'll probably end up with a series and a BAFTA.
It's about time one of us did.
Bitch.
You've spent the last 30 years cannibalizing my life.
That's different.
How do you think it feels to see yourself portrayed on screen as a stereotypical Guardian-reading man-hater?
If the cap fits. Oh, talk about sitcom. If I wrote this, no one would believe it. My wife's taping my life and my son's about to become an Aztec plumber.
Write it down, Howard. Write it down. Never waste a good line, even if it is at the expense of your family.
Jessie, where are you going?
I can't talk to you if you're going to be like this. Call me when you've calmed down.
Are you free in 2090? Stick another pint in that, would you, Bob?
Certainly.
Hello, gorgeous.
Charlie.
Drinking alone?
Just popped in for a pint.
Come off it.
Fair cop. What are you drinking?
Very Christian of you. I'll have a grouse.
Large scotch when you've got a minute, Bob. Oh, how's life?
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah?
No, complete and utter crap, tell the truth.
What are you working on?
Do the words fun and games mean anything to you?
Saturday night prime time?
That's the one. The ritual humiliation of working class families praying they'll win the star prize. Hosted by an ex-model and a footballer looking for a career change. You're looking at the new script associate.
Well, I hear the money's good.
It's the only thing that is.
There you go.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers. Family all right?
You know Josie and I...
Yes, sorry to hear about that. What about the boy? Still at school, is he?
He's about to go to Oxford.
Oxford, eh? Clever lad. You must be very proud.
Yes. And Toby?
He's just finished at RADA. After all my warnings, my son's an actor.
God, I'm sorry, Charlie.
I begged him to go into stand-up. I said to him, if you go into the business, stand-up comedy's the thing. Make it as a comedian. The world's your oyster. You can move on to chat shows. Become a novelist.
You're right. Stand-up comedy and psychological counselling. The two growth industries.
Oh, kids, eh? I tell you, if I could afford to, I'd pack it all in tomorrow and open a nice little pub in the country.
Oh, yeah. I could just see you the other side of the bar.
I wouldn't mind.
You'd drink your own profits in a month.
It couldn't be worse than writing gags for fun and games.
Ah.
You have one message. Howard, it's Ness. I'm in the office till about 8 tonight. Give me a ring.
Right, yeah, right.
Hello?
Nessa, Howard.
Howard, good. Listen, can you make an 11 o'clock meeting tomorrow with Marina Poppy? She's a new producer at Beater Blocker Productions. She's Red Sauce for the Goose, but she wants to talk about another project.
What other project?
All she'd tell me was it's a new sitcom, but there isn't a writer attached.
I don't know, but...
Howard, you've been trying to get a new show off the ground for 5 years now.
Thanks for the reminder.
I'm not saying anything you haven't already said to me. You could do it with a profile lift, not to mention the money.
Good money?
Well, you're Howard Black, for God's sake. You don't come cheap.
No, I suppose you could fax me the treatment.
I'll ring her now. Oh, I've taken on a new assistant, Molly. She'll be dealing with some of the work from now on, so if you can't get hold of me...
Are you passing me over?
No. Don't be silly. Listen, I've got to go if I'm going to catch Marina.
Blast. Ooh.
Hello, pizza.
Hello, I'd like to order a thin and crispy margarita and extra hot peppers and garlic.
Hey, Mr. Black, how are you?
Wonderful. How long will it take?
15 minutes.
Thanks.
I've got to tell you, we're very excited about this project. And the great thing is there's a lot of enthusiasm coming from the network.
Really?
Oh, yes. You know how slowly the wheels grind in this industry, but this has been greenlit all the way and it's happened very rapidly.
Incredible.
Apparently, we've caught the zeitgeist.
I hope it's not infectious.
Sorry?
Sorry, no, I was just...
Oh, right. Very good. Anyway, word from upstairs is they want this to happen and they want it fast.
Well, how fast is fast?
Time is negotiable. So, what do you think?
Well, I...
I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I'm intrigued. Can I ask...
Anything.
Where did the... who actually came up with the idea?
It's very much a beta blocker project. The initial idea, the basic premise, that's to say the central conceit, has been in the air for a while.
In the air?
Floating around the company. I've only been here a few months, but I picked up on it and knocked it about with Chris. I don't know if you... Chris Russell?
No.
He runs the company. Very proactive, very dynamic. Beta Blocker would obviously hold on to all format rights, but I'm sure we could build a development agreement into the deal. By the way, I loved Sauce for the Goose.
Oh, thanks.
I'm not sure it's right for Beta Blocker, but it's going to be a huge hit. Has anyone else picked it up?
Actually, between you and me, my agent's involved in a bidding war.
Well, come on. A new Howard Black sitcom, the man who wrote Love Me or Leave Me. They don't land on the desk every day.
Well...
Classic. I grew up on your shows.
Ah, you've made an old man feel even older.
Great shows never die.
No, they merely go to cable.
I've given you the situation from our end. We've got the go-ahead and we need to get moving. Now, I don't want to put any pressure on you. I mean, I quite understand if you want to go away and have a think, talk things over with your agent, whatever. All I can say is we'd love you to write it if you're interested.
I'm interested.
Molly Sutton.
Oh, I was trying to get Nessa.
I'm afraid she's not here. I'm her assistant. Can I help?
Well, this is Howard Black. When she gets back...
Howard Black! I was trying to call you to see how the meeting went at Beta Blocker.
You know about that.
Nessa's briefed me on everything you're doing. Oh, it all sounds terribly exciting. So, how'd it go?
Well, they've offered me the show and I've accepted.
Oh, terrific. I'll tell Nessa when she gets back.
Oh, she's not in the office?
She's away.
Away?
She's taken a fortnight off. Don't worry, I'm completely up to speed with everything. Would it be a good idea if we had a chat? Maybe lunch, get to meet properly, put a face to the name?
Well, that sounds very nice, but are you... Sorry, don't take this the wrong way, but is Nessa handing me over to you? Because I think she should at least have asked me.
No, it's nothing like that. I'm assisting.
Assisting?
That's all.
I wasn't doubting your...
Absolutely. You're an important client. You're entitled to know what's going on. I've got to tell you, I'm a really big fan of your work. Oh, God, that sounds cheesy. So, how are you fixed Monday?
Monday?
For lunch, say one-ish.
One-ish sounds fine.
Wonderful. Are you celebrating tonight?
Celebrating?
The new sitcom.
Oh, yes, I'll probably go out for a slap-up meal.
Well, enjoy.
I will.
See you Monday.
A light of India.
I'd like to order a takeaway.
Okay, Mr. Black. How are you, sir?
Yes, I'm fine, thanks. I'd like a portion of onion bhaji, a chicken madras. Hello. I'd like to order a large haddock and chips. Make that a large chips. A side portion of mushy peas, a pickled onion, and a gherkin. Yes, I'll have pita bread stuffed with falafel and salad, and a portion of those extra hot chilies.
Peru?
Yeah, Peru, for God's sake.
What are you going to do in Peru?
You may well ask. Helping with an irrigation system or something. My son, the Aztec plumber.
You should put that in a script.
Ah, no, believe me. Anyway, life wouldn't be worth living. As it is, Josie says I'm a vulture.
A vulture?
Yeah, picking over the bones of our marriage for the sake of a few laughs.
Oh, isn't that a writer's job?
Maybe. Anyway, that's the story of my life. What's yours?
Mine? Oh, very boring. Sent to posh school, left posh school, went to Oxford, left Oxford, got a job with the agency.
You went to Oxford?
Yes, why?
I just thought... No, forget it.
What?
Silly idea.
Howard?
Well, I was wondering if you were to have a word with my son. You know, tell him what a brilliant time you had as a student.
Why would he listen to me?
Well, you're near his age. I'm just a boring old reactionary.
I don't think you're boring.
Thanks for the half compliment.
Age is in the eye of the beholder.
I wish.
It's true.
Ah, the optimism of youth.
Some women prefer older men. Tell you what, one good turn deserves another.
Meaning?
I'll speak to your son...
Jack?
I'll speak to Jack if you'll read my script.
You're right.
Well, I'm trying.
Oh, what have you written?
I've tried to write a sitcom. Oh, God, what am I saying? I'm talking to Howard Black about my sitcom. Oh, this is so embarrassing. Forget it. Forget what I just said.
I'll read it if you want me to.
Would you?
Yeah.
Really, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
My thoughts are at your command. Send me a copy.
Actually...
And...
This will sound awful, but, I just happen to have a copy with me.
A feta salad, some dalmades, a portion of deep-fried calamari. Hello, I'd like one egg fried rice, one monk's vegetables, and a stir-fried bean curd in... Well, yes, I ordered some sushi an hour ago. Still hasn't arrived. Hello?
Howard, it's Josie.
Uh-huh. Sorry, I had this line floating around.
Have I got your attention now?
Yes.
Jack's coming down tonight for the weekend. I think he'd like to see you.
That'll be a first.
Can you take this seriously for a minute?
Yes, yes, he wants to see me. Good, I want to see him, too. I've met someone who recently left Oxford, and she said she'd be happy to have a chat with him.
You won't come on heavy, will you?
And what do you take me for?
Only I think he's feeling quite vulnerable at the moment.
I just thought she could tell him what it's like. He ought to have all the facts before he makes any big decisions. Even you must agree with that.
Well, just go easy on him.
Of course. Now, when's he coming down?
I'm not sure. He's getting the coach.
Well, he can stay here if he likes.
I'll tell him. But I think he'll stay here. I'll call you over the weekend to arrange a time.
Fine.
Molly can't get to the phone at the moment, but please leave a message after the tone.
Hello, it's Howard. I've had a few thoughts about your script. Look, if you're free, come over tonight. I'll make something to eat and we can talk it over. Bye. Oh, my God. Look at this place. Oh, my God. Look at me.
Hello, Howard. Fine as usual.
A Actually, I'm in a bit of a rush. What do young women drink these days?
Chardonnay. Can't go wrong with Chardonnay.
Okay, two bottles of Chardonnay.
Two bottles of Chardonnay?
Hello, Charlie.
Having a party?
My agent's coming over.
There you go. If the young lady doesn't like it, you can blame me.
Young lady? I've heard Nessa called a few things, but young.
No, it's not Nessa, it's her assistant. How much, Bob?
17 quid to you.
17? I wanted a couple of bottles of wine, not the whole bloody pub. There you go.
I hope she's worth it.
It's business, Charlie.
Whatever you say.
How's fun and games?
They fired me.
What? Why?
It's bombing, so the producer, in his infinite wisdom, thought a younger script associate might beef things up. Out with the old, in with the new.
I'm really sorry, mate.
Oh, forget it. This has just underlined what I've known for a long time. There's no market for my kind of stuff anymore.
Oh, rubbish.
It's a young man's game.
People always need good writers. Cream always rises to the surface.
Unfortunately, so does crap. Light entertainment's not what it was.
True.
What are you working on? I mean, apart from your assistant agent.
I've got a sitcom in development.
Good for you.
Oh, I didn't originate it.
Don't knock it. Most of the writers I know are living on residuals or past glories. Well,
things will pick up.
Not for me. This last year's nearly done for me. Tell the truth, I'd be quite relieved to be out of it. I took an idea to an independent last year. They kept me waiting an hour before I got in to see some little shit in a black polo neck, Armani glasses, and half a Bolivian state national product up his nose. Anyway, I did my pitch, and he sat there nodding and laughing and eating an orange and saying how excited he was and how he'd grown up watching my shows in the 70s. By the end of it, I'm thinking, hey, maybe there's life in the old dog yet. A week goes past. Nothing. 2 weeks. Nothing. I gave it to the end of the month, phoned my agent. He phones the producer. Back comes the message. They're very excited about the project. Can I bear with them another week or two? Okay. 2 weeks later, the agent phones again. There's been a bit of a change round, and the producer's left.
Left?
Gone. Finito. End of story.
There have always been arseholes.
Yeah, but the arseholes have taken over the lavatory.
What was his name?
I can't even remember. I've wiped it. It was a nice idea, too.
Go on.
Oh, you don't want it.
Go on.
Okay. This is the pitch. A couple meet over the internet. Huh? They fall in love. You know, just through emailing each other. Anyway, they finally decide they've got to meet in the flesh. What they don't know is they've both been lying. They've reinvented themselves the way they'd like to be. Well, when they finally meet face to face, he's 25 and she's 50. But this is the hook. They can't get away from the fact that they've fallen in love. They decide to give it a go. End of episode one. You think it's crap?
No, not at all. It's a great idea.
I'm not so sure anymore. Zeitgeist. That's what he said. You've caught the zeitgeist. You're right.
Hmm? Oh, yes, I just remembered. I'm supposed to be cooking dinner.
You're cooking her dinner? I've never cooked dinner for my agent. On the other hand, he's 68, dresses like a test card and wears a wig. I take it she doesn't wear a wig.
What? Who?
Blimey, Howard, what is it with you?
I'm sorry, I've got a lot on my mind.
Russell.
What?
The arsehole, Chris Russell, set up a company called Beta Blocker. You ever heard of them?
It rings a vague bell.
Well, don't go near them, that's my advice. Avoid them like the plague.
Molly. Oh, Molly, yes, hello, come in.
Now, I hope you like Aussie Red, only... Howard, are you all right?
No, not really.
Well, what's wrong?
Come through. I nearly phoned you to postpone, and I thought you're just the person I need to talk to, especially as Nessa's away.
What's up?
I bumped into an old friend, another writer, and did you say Aussie Red?
What? Oh, yes, here.
Oh, thanks, I could do with the drink. Well, the long and the short of it is, I think someone at Beta Blocker has ripped this guy off.
In what way?
He described a sitcom he pitched to Chris Russell last year, and it was identical to the one I'm doing for them now.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm not sure.
Did you tell him?
I couldn't. He just gave me this tale of woe about his career going down the pan. I mean, how could I turn around and tell him it's worse than he thought? The man could kill himself. Cheers.
Cheers.
This is terrible.
The wine.
The situation.
Oh.
I don't know what to do.
These things usually look worse than they really are. Try not to make any big decisions in the heat of the moment.
Well, morally, there's no decision I've got to pull out.
Can you afford to?
Well, of course I can't afford to, but I equally can't afford to have every writer in the business say that Howard Black stole another man's idea.
I think maybe I should go.
No, please, I'm sorry. You come round here to talk about your script and...
Don't be silly! Have you met this... What's his name?
Russell, Chris Russell. No, I've been dealing with Marina.
Do you think she knows about it?
Haven't got a clue.
And you're absolutely sure it's the same project?
It can't be a coincidence.
Then you'll have to confront her, unless you want me to. And...
No. I'd better do it. I'll call her first thing Monday morning. More wine. Now, this script of yours...
Don't forget it. You've got enough on your mind.
No. I asked you over for dinner. Dinner? I completely forgot. I bought some pasta and...
Where's the kitchen?
No, you didn't come here to cook.
I'm a very good cook, if I say so myself.
Well, I'm a very bad cook, but I'm experienced with a corkscrew.
Fine, let's play to our strengths. So, you don't think it's a complete disaster?
Disaster?
Disaster. You didn't think it was hopeless?
No. Personally, I wouldn't have used quite so much garlic.
The script!
Oh, the script!
You don't think I'm completely wasting...
No, not at all. Like I said, I think it would benefit from a couple more drafts.
You're just being kind.
I'm never kind to other writers.
You're being kind to me, so you obviously don't think of me as another writer.
I'm trying to encourage young talent.
Young I may be.
And I like you. Oh, sorry, that was wrong of me.
How do you know it wasn't wrong of me?
Because I'm rather drunk.
I'm rather drunk too.
But I made the first move.
And I'm making the second. It's a terrible script, isn't it?
No.
It is. I know it is. My characters are two-dimensional.
I can't undo yours.
And the dialogue's stilted and contrived. And there's a hook at the back.
Thanks.
Ow!
Oh, sorry. Watch that. It might be worth considering a different approach.
Like what?
Like a drama.
You don't think I can write comedy? Sorry.
Don't worry, they were cheap. My God, you've got lovely.
Ouch!
Sorry.
You're right. I can't do comedy.
No, I didn't say that. But comedy is a very specific discipline.
Yes.
Especially...
Yes.
Sitcom. Try writing from personal experience.
Yes! You're right! You're so right! I'm going to start again.
Good idea.
Comedy's not for me. I'll write something tough.
Yes.
Hard. Yeah. Gritty.
Yeah. God, I want to. What the hell?
Dad, it's...
Jack, this is Molly. We were just...
Excuse me a moment.
Looks like a nice girl.
Girl being the operative word.
Your mother said she'd phone. I wasn't expecting you.
I haven't seen Mum. I came straight here.
Howard, I think I'd better be going.
No, don't go.
I'm sure you two have a lot to catch up on.
No, I mean, look, we've got plenty of time to... Look, listen, why don't I make some coffee and we can all...
Dad, maybe you should put some trousers on first.
Trousers? Right. Yes.
Yeah, I'll call you in the morning. Good night.
Well?
I told her I'll stay here tonight.
Was she all right about it?
Fine. Why wouldn't she be?
No reason. Well, that was a nice evening.
Sorry about the, talk about a Freudian nightmare.
Okay, let's get it over with.
Well, if you saw it in a sitcom, you'd never believe it.
Yeah, okay, ha-ha.
I'll dine out on this.
No, God, no, please, Jack.
Don't worry.
And you won't tell your mother?
As if. Anyway, I appreciate you going to all that trouble for me.
What trouble?
Seducing a girl just so she'll talk me into going to Oxford instead of Peru.
I don't know what you're talking about. She came over to discuss a script she's written.
Oh, yeah.
What's oh, yeah?
You're full of love for your fellow writers.
I try to be of help.
Good script, was it?
Lousy.
Did you tell her?
Okay, she had mentioned she'd been to Oxford, and I had mentioned that she'd be doing me a favour if she talked to you.
Well, thanks for trying.
I suppose it was a waste of time.
Afraid so.
Well, I just want you to think about your future. I know to you I'm just a boring old fart.
If that's what you think I think, then you don't know me at all.
Well, what am I supposed to think? All I've ever done is to try to give you a head start, but everything I do is always met with such resistance.
You don't have to try so hard, Dad.
Oh, that's easy for you to say, but I've always had to try hard for everything. I mean, maybe you'll be one of those lucky people who sit around on their bums all day and life just falls into their laps, but it hasn't been like that for me. All I'm trying to do is instill a bit of urgency. I mean, you don't want to end up like me.
What's wrong with ending up like you?
What?
That's what I keep trying to say, but you won't listen. You sent me away to boarding school because you didn't go to one, therefore it must be good. Now you want me to go to Oxford and...
I just don't want you making snap decisions which you regret the rest of your life. One thing I've learnt, you can bugger things up very quickly, which can take a very long time to unbugger.
I don't think you can unbugger something. Like death and virginity. You either are or you're not.
Can I use that?
For a small fee.
How about a large Armagnac?
That'll do. So, Molly, is she as serious? I mean, are you two...
The whole thing tonight, we were drunk. She came over, we got drunk.
I turned up.
A sordid little incident I'd rather forget.
She likes you.
You think?
Definitely.
Well, I like her, but it's ridiculous. I'm twice her age. It's a recipe for disaster. Next thing I grow a ponytail, buy a sports car, then she'd dump me and I'd be just another tragic old sod trying to hang on to his youth. I've got enough tragedy in my life, thank you very much. My agent's buggered off on a holiday without telling me. My wife's left me for another woman.
No, she hasn't.
I know it must be painful for you, son.
Look, Mum and Brenda are just friends. They're both seeing other men.
Great. Bloody great. At least before I had the consolation she preferred women, now it's clear she just hated me.
She doesn't hate you, and your life is not full of tragedy. Stop being so self-pitying.
What?
If you like Molly, keep seeing her. If Nessa's not pulling her weight, get another agent.
Easier said. I'm not exactly flavour of the month. I haven't had a successful show for 5 years. At the Capitol, I'm writing a show which I'm going to have to drop because I've discovered that the producers have stolen the idea from another writer.
No.
Worse still, a writer I know. That's what I'm trying to say. Just when you think everything's fine, life has a nasty way of kicking you in the pants. When I was about your age, I was in advertising, writing copy for dog food commercials. There were four of us in a Dickensian little attic in the middle of Mayfair. Well, after about 10 years of this, I started feeling nauseous in the mornings. Weekends were fine till Sunday night. I remember looking round the office at all these frustrated novelists or playwrights or poets and thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. There was one old bloke, Cyril Lewis. He'd been there 20 years when I joined. And it was a standing joke with us that one day Cyril was going to finish the novel he'd been writing for God knows how long. I mean, he'd fought in the Battle of Britain and he'd been writing it then. Well, when I look back, it would be cruel for laughing. But it was a laughter of fear. Fear that there but for the grace of God go I. And there was poor old Cyril in his tweed jacket scribbling away and quietly drinking himself to death. Cheers.
Cheers.
So I got out. A year later, I'm sitting in the BBC with five other writers, writing material for some comedian or other, I can't recall. After a while, they all merge into one big mouth. Anyway, I looked around this smoky room. You could still smoke in the BBC in those days. And I realised I just swapped one room of depressing sods bitching about each other for another room of depressing sods. Well, that's when I decided, sink or swim, I either get my own sitcom commissioned or I starve.
And it worked.
Yes, it did. Then you were born, and for some years everything in the garden, etc., etc. But look at me now. I'm 38 years older than you, and I'm still running around like a blue-ass fly from meeting to meeting, brown-nosing producers half my age, pitching my heart out, and I've got to face the fact that my career's on the skids.
I don't believe that for a minute. I don't think you do either.
I made my bed, as they say. I made my choices. I made my decisions, and for a while it paid off. What scares me is, when I look in the mirror now, I don't see me anymore. I see poor old Cyril Lewis.
Well, things will change.
They'd better, because I'm not ready for the big celebrity golf course in the sky yet. But you've got to think about your future. Try to imagine yourself at my age, looking back over your life and wondering, did I make the right decision turning down Oxford and going to make irrigation systems in Peru?
I'm not going to Peru.
What?
I've changed my mind.
Oh, that's marvellous. You won't regret this, Jack. I promise you, you won't.
Don't get too excited. I'm not going to Oxford either.
So?
I've been offered a place at film school on the scriptwriting course.
Oh, my God.
How
how's the script coming along?
Oh, the script's fine. This has nothing to do with the script.
Oh.
This is about the idea.
What idea?
The original idea behind the sitcom. I'm not sure you've told me the whole story. You see, Marina, contrary to popular belief, writers talk to each other. They get together from time to time and chew the fat. And I recently had one of these fat-chewing sessions with an old mate, in the course of which he described a project of his which bears an alarming resemblance to the one I'm currently writing for you.
I see. Who is this writer?
I can't say.
Can't?
Won't.
I see. Are you sure about this, Howard? I mean, these things happen. You know what it's like. Ideas float around, they're in the air. Well, it's not unusual for more than one writer to hit on a similar idea.
Not similar, identical. His story was practically verbatim our story, or rather your story. You've got to admit it's a bit of a coincidence.
Maybe that's all it is.
I don't think so.
Well, who's to say we didn't have the idea first?
The same writer told me he pitched his idea about a year ago.
So?
To a producer called Chris Russell.
To Chris? Well, I can't believe he'd do a thing like that. Oh, God, this is very... I don't suppose you'd believe me if I said I know nothing about it.
I'd like to, but this has put me in an invidious moral position.
Yes, yes, of course. What did your friend say?
Say?
When you told him you're working on it.
I didn't.
You didn't? So he doesn't actually know?
No.
Why didn't you tell him?
I wanted to speak to
Isn't
you
Isn't he going to think it's a bit strange when this goes out with your name on it?
Well, now you see my dilemma.
Okay. Here's what we'll do. We'll change a few things here and there. Nothing major, just a few tweaks. Enough to give it some distance.
Look, that doesn't solve my problem. This man's still going to think I ripped him off. He's still going to think I stole his idea and brought it to you.
But you didn't.
I know I didn't.
So your conscience is clear.
But I'm legally blameless, but my conscience is far from clear.
So what else do you suggest?
I'm not sure I should carry on.
Please, Howard, don't back out on us now.
I don't want to, but you've got to see it from my perspective.
If you back out now, it's going to look very bad for us with the network.
It doesn't look great for you now. You've sold them a stolen idea.
Says you.
You're denying it.
I'm just saying it's very difficult to prove these things. Difficult, time-consuming, and expensive. I mean, do you think your friend will want to take this through the courts?
Well, if I were in his position...
And think how it's going to look for you.
For me?
With the network. I mean, can you afford to fall out with those people?
Are you threatening me?
Of course not.
Well, it sounded like a threat.
All I'm saying is, we're a young company, so this is important to us. But you are...
Old?
Your name hasn't been attached to a big success for a few years now.
You are threatening me.
I just think you should consider your position very carefully.
Will you excuse me a minute?
What are you doing?
Sounded like a threat.
Your name hasn't been attached to a big success for a few years now.
You are threatening me. The quality of these machines just gets better and better.
There's a whole new lineup for the autumn here on BBC One.
Comedy!
A brand new sitcom from the writer of Love Me or Leave Me and Bob and Me, Sauce for the Goose follows the teething problems of Terry as he tries to juggle his work as a plumber with being a first-time father.
Ugh. Drama.
A season of new dramas by first-time writers kicks off with Molly Sutton's gritty film Losing It All, about a young literary agent's affair with an aging sitcom writer who finds his life is far from funny.
You can say that again.
Light of India.
Hello, I'd like to order a takeaway. I'll have one onion bhaji, one pilau rice, and one plain naan.
In The Pitch by Jeremy Front, Howard was played by Richard Briers, Marina was Claudia Schulte, Molly was Lucy Punch, and Josie was Maureen O'Brien. Mel and Nessa were Rebecca Front, Charlie was Gavin Muir, and Jack and the barman were Tom George. The director was Peter Kavanagh.